tell you what, my wife is upstairs. My wife is upstairs, and I need to tell her how important I am. I got applauded. Normally, I get jeered, and I get rah, you know. Oh, go ahead, give me that. Amen. How many of you guys got your Bibles? Anybody, you got your Bibles? Amen. A few of you. Look at. I'm spiritual. I got my Bible there, Pastor. And do me a favor. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, and I'll just read one verse. And Pastor Donald asked me to do this split session today, and it was a privilege to be his youth pastor. How many of you want to hear a great story about Pastor Donald?
This guy.
Okay. All right. I will tell a great story about Pastor Donald. Pastor Donald, when he was in our youth group, was known. We called him, his nickname was 11 Cents. And the reason he got the nickname 11 Cents was because he was the mooch of the youth group. How many of you know what a mooch is? Okay, how many of you don't know what a mooch is? Okay, a mooch is somebody that's always begging for money. Okay, it's like he was the bum of the youth group. You know, if you wanted to go downtown, you could see a bum and say, he'd say, do you have any money? Pastor Donald was the bum of our youth group. He would always come out with the most random figures. You know, we'd be at McDonald's, and he would come up to us, and he'd say, Pastor Rich, do you got 17 cents? Like, he would never ask for a quarter or 50 cents or a dollar. It was always, Pastor Rich, you got 32 cents? And so we just nicknamed him 11 Cent after that, and that was his nickname in our youth group, and he was. By the way, something about Pastor Donald, too, is he was a tender young man. He always wanted to listen. He always wanted to hear what the preacher said. He always, he could tell you other stories, but that's just what I know. Jeremiah chapter 6, it's our theme verse today. I want you to just look at it, and I'll give you a few things today, and I hope they'll be a blessing to you and a challenge. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the what way, folks? What's it say? Wherein is the what? Good way. Good way. And then it says, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Father, please bless now with these young men. I pray that something I'd say today would be a help to them, an encouragement to them, a challenge to them. Lord, and that you would in these matters, you'd help us to keep things old-fashioned. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for all that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am 42 years old. And I have to say that when I was 16 or 17, 42 seemed like ancient of days. And I relate in our church better with people in their 70s and 80s than I do with people that are my age and younger. And part of the reason is because I am old-fashioned. I'm old-fashioned. I just really am. I don't change styles. I've had this same hairstyle for 20 years. I wear the same kind of shoes. I never get into these styles of shoes that come, the pointy toes and the flat toes and the alligators and all those things that came out. I just kind of go with standard black shoes, you know. Old-fashioned. I've got a couple of hobbies, and I've had them for 30 years. I play a baseball game called Appa Baseball, and I've been playing it since I was 7 years old. And my other hobby is I like old-time radio. You see the radio that's up on the platform, the big one there, that's mine. I like to listen to the old-time radio shows when America was a little different. By the way, when it comes to church, I'm old-fashioned. I know it's a youth rally, so you guys should be wearing jeans and sneakers and all that. But when it comes to church, I think this is what you ought to wear to church.
Amen.
Amen. I'm old-fashioned about that. By the way, I like old-fashioned preaching. I do. You say, well, you're a preacher. Well, I wasn't always a preacher. I got saved when I was 23 years old. I was a heavy metal drummer. And boy, I'll tell you what, I started liking preaching. I like old-fashioned music. I like this old-fashioned King James Bible. I like old-fashioned traditions. By the way, I'm not against new things because they're new. I like indoor plumbing.
Amen.
Anybody ever go to the dentist? I'm a fan of anesthesia. I'm a fan. That's pretty new. You know what they used to do? They used to just pull the tooth out. I'm not just against. I like air conditioning. I wish we had some in here. We've got my wife and I. We have a 2008 Ford Expedition. It's beautiful. I mean, the seats move and they massage your back, and you got the air conditioning comes out of the seats, so you get a cold. Never mind. Amen. And I like technology. I like iPhones. I like the fact that I can hear preachers from yesteryear on MP3s. I'm not against new things, but I will tell you this. Something that you need to learn as young people about new things is this. They're unproven. They're unproven. And you need to give them a little bit more thought. Does anybody remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter 6 when they moved the ark and they put it on a new cart? What was the problem there? God had told them there was an old way to do it, and that's the way he wanted it done. And they put it on that new cart. So in our text there, it tells us just a few things. It tells us to stand in the ways, and then it says to see and to ask for the old paths and to walk therein. And it says there that they're the ways, they're the old paths, they're the place of rest from your souls. But at the end of the verse, it says something tragic. It says something that you've said, and it says something that I've said. If we've not said it with our lips, we've said it in our heart, and our actions have proved it. Do you know what it says there? It says, he said, go ahead, walk in the old paths. It's a good way. You'll find rest for your souls. And you know what they said? No. No. We will not walk therein. I want to give you, if I could today, fellas, if I could go back and transplant myself at 16 or 17 years old, I want to give you just 7 quick things that kind of go along with our theme, and that is keeping it old-fashioned. What are some old-fashioned things that if you were to put into practice in your life, and by the way, some of you probably do. I think we learn most of our lessons from our dads, and all God's men said,
Amen.
We really do. And I know some people don't have a dad, and by the way, if you don't have a dad, your mom's doing the best she can. Give her a break. Amen. Try to get in there and just be what you can be. But I think of these lessons. Let me just give them to you. Number one, let's keep it old-fashioned when it comes to integrity. You say, Pastor, what's integrity? What does that mean? The Bible says in Psalm 26:11 that David walked in his integrity. Integrity is character. Integrity is when you give your word, you do what you say. That's integrity. I came up against that today. I promised my little boy, we were supposed to start at 10. Bless God, I'm going to fire that youth pastor of mine. Amen. We were supposed to start at 10, and we didn't. We got going late, and I told my little boy, I said, now I'm going to start the youth rally, and then he had a soccer game, and I said, I am going to be there for the second half of your soccer game. And I looked and looked and looked, and I'm looking at that time, and it's going, 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 going. And I said, well, I could just stay. It'll be okay. But then it seemed like the Holy Spirit of God said, you made a promise. You made a promise. Now, I could have stayed, and I could have justified it, but you know what? I want my little boy to know that when Daddy says something, Daddy's going to do what he said. And I want to tell you, young men, Bob Jones Sr. said this, you can borrow brains, but you can't borrow character. Be honest. Be honest. Be a man of integrity, that when somebody deals with you, they could say, that is a young man of integrity. They do what they say. They're honest. They have character. Let me give you number two. Not only keeping it old-fashioned in regards to integrity. Boy, this is just a real pet peeve with me, fellas, and I hope you'll give me some liberty here. Old-fashioned when it comes to integrity. Old-fashioned when it comes to chivalry. You say, Pastor, what is chivalry? I don't even know what that means. It's defined, Oxford's Dictionary, is courteous behavior, especially that of a man toward a woman. You know, the Bible says about women that they are the weaker vessel. You don't have to watch a NBA game long or watch a WNBA game, which I happen to think is a waste of just time watching a WNBA game. If I wanted to watch layups, I could watch 8-year-olds do layups. Amen. I want to watch dunks, I can watch men. Amen. And I, just a sidebar, I'm like, you know, if they really want equality, let's play the Miami Heat against the Los Angeles Sparks and see who wins.
Yeah.
What's chivalry, Pastor? It's the fact that they are the weaker vessel, and they deserve to be treated with respect and honor and dignity. I have heard young men call women things that I had just literally wanted me, Brother Riccardi, to ball up my fist and punch a teenager right in the face. Now, I've never done that, as far as you know, but today could be a first. You never know. You know what, fellas? It's still okay to treat a lady like a lady. And if you want a lady, you ought to treat ladies like ladies. Amen. That's old-fashioned. Listen, it's old-fashioned to open the door and hold it for a lady. But it sure is good. It sure is right. It sure is proper. Can I say this, fellas? And you may not like me for this, but I'm really not in the popularity contest anyway. Keep your hands off that young lady. She doesn't belong to you. She belongs to her father until you marry her. It's okay. I got one amen on that one. That's okay. Keep your hands to yourself. That's chivalry. That's what Brother Jenkins said in his message. He said, listen, she doesn't belong to me. By the way, you treat a lady like a lady, not because she necessarily deserves it. My pastor opened a door one time for a bossy woman. Not a lady, but a bossy woman. There's a difference. And he opened the door and she said, you don't have to hold that door for me because I'm a lady. He said, I didn't. I held it because I'm a gentleman. Have a nice day. That's chivalry, fellas. That's what it is to be chivalrous. So let's keep it old-fashioned in regards to our integrity. What's integrity? Doing what we say. We say we're going to do it, we're going to do it. Amen. We're going to be honest in our dealings. Keep it old-fashioned in regards to chivalry. Keep it old-fashioned in regards to purity. You know, Paul was an aged preacher when he wrote 1 Timothy. And he wrote to Timothy, who was a young preacher. Some people think Timothy was 17 or 18 when he was pastoring the church. And he said this. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity. And the last thing was he said was in purity. Can I say this, young men? Brother Jenkins hit on this, and I don't think I need to go a lot farther with it, but what you watch, what you listen to, the websites you surf, they contribute to the fact of whether you're going to stay pure or whether you're going to live your life impurely. And I want to just tell you this. Purity is not just for girls on the wedding day. And all God's men said,
amen.
It's not. It's not just for ladies. Purity is, God wants us all to be pure. Wants us now, and here's the great thing. You say, well, Pastor, what about if I did mess up? What if I did go someplace where I shouldn't have gone on the internet? Or what if I did watch something? The Bible says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean, Pastor? That means you can be pure anytime you want to be. If you repent, come to God, tell Him you're sorry. So, integrity, chivalry, purity. How about this one? Number four, let's keep it old-fashioned in regards to authority.
Amen.
I'll tell you, this movement that's going on in our days, and I know we've got several of you that go to public schools, this movement that's going on in our days regarding homosexuality is nothing more than a fist pumping towards the authority of God. I'm sorry that you don't like it, but God set it up male and female. I'm sorry. There are people that don't like it. Listen, He's the authority.
Amen.
God's the creator. God is the one who made it all. By the way, he's the authority regarding who goes to heaven or hell. He created it, didn't he? It's his heaven. He can say, hey, you have to be saved. You have to have your sins forgiven to go in. Not only did he create it, but he provided a way. That's authority. You know something else in regards to authority? Some of you could probably quote it. Some of you can't. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that thy days may be long upon the earth. What are you saying there, Pastor? Your parents are your authority. They are. They're your authority. You may not agree with everything they say. That's okay. You have the right to be wrong. I'm still your friend. Amen. No, they're not always right. But they are your parents. And they do get to say, if we're going to be old-fashioned about authority. How about we keep going? How many of you work a job? Raise your hand. You know what you're supposed to be? The Bible says, servants, be obedient to your masters. You know what that means? If you're an employee, you know what you're supposed to do? What the boss tells you to do. You're not the boss yet. Maybe you will be one day, but listen, I worked a job for years. I was in the ministry in New England, and I worked as an aerospace quality inspector and worked in the ministry as well. And my job was to do what my boss told me to do. There was times where I thought my boss didn't know what he was talking about. But I would say, hey, if you want me to do this, I'll be glad to do it. You know why? Because I want to keep it old-fashioned in regards to authority. How about your youth pastor? He is not just trying to spoil your good time, I promise you that. He's the authority that God has placed in your life. Be obedient to him. Your pastor, as he stands up there and preaches each week. I think of others, teachers, policemen, there's so many. Let's keep it old-fashioned in regards to authority. I'll tell you what, you'll be glad one day that you did if God ever puts you in a position of authority, because what you sow, you reap. Number five. So we got authority, purity, chivalry, integrity. Number five, boy, this one is so important. Let's keep it old-fashioned in regards to teachability. What is teachability, Pastor? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Do you know how you do that? You have to not be a know-it-all. Have you ever been around a know-it-all? You're like, yeah, every day, it's me. A know-it-all, you know, an older person will try to tell them something, and they'll say, oh, but Jack, you've been around him. You've been around a know-it-all. You can't teach him anything. I'll tell you what. You know what? We should be old-fashioned. Older people know more because they've lived more life.
Right.
And you ought to listen to them. Got to listen to them. We've got so many people in our church, so many sweet older people that I say, my goodness, I want to get around them. I want to listen to them. We've got one man in our church who owned one of the largest dairy farms in mid-Michigan. I'm going to tell you what, I want to learn, Brother Corser. I want to get around that guy and learn some stuff. Not only is he a businessman, impeccable integrity, just great stories, got so much wisdom. But if you're not teachable, if you don't keep it old-fashioned in regards to teachability, you're not going to learn. So teachability, purity, authority, chivalry, integrity. Two more. Let's keep it old-fashioned in regards to humility. What's humility? Humility is being humble, state of being humble. I love sports. I really do. I'm not a hunting, fishing sports guy, though I'm not against that. I don't like shooting Bambi, but I'd like eating him. He's fine, you know. I'm just not my thing, amen. But I grew up playing baseball and basketball and football and soccer and anywhere you could get a team together. But I'll tell you honestly, something that just absolutely repulses me is when somebody makes a tackle or somebody scores a touchdown and they just do this. Because you know what it says? I did that. You ever watch football? Every time somebody scores a touchdown, you know what happened? Somebody made a great block. Somebody sealed the end. You ever, some of the best touchdowns to watch are kickoff returns. You'll see a guy, and he's got great ability and great talent, but invariably, there's a guy that's closing in on him, about ready to get him, and pow, this block comes out of nowhere and nails him. He didn't do that on his own. If you make anything of your life, it will not be because you're a self-made person. First of all, it'll be the gifts that God gave you, which in that we ought to be humble. But also, we're the products of people investing in us. How many of you drove yourself today? Raise your hand. Okay? A couple of you Jacksonites, amen? With licenses. You had to spoil my illustration, didn't you? Amen. How many of you, somebody else drove you today? Raise your hand. Do you know what you ought to be for that? Humble. You ought to be humble. Somebody cared enough to bring you. Somebody cared enough to invite you. A church cared enough to host a rally. Humble. Keep it old-fashioned in regards to humility. Listen, as a pastor, I get this a lot. Oh, pastor, what a wonderful sermon. You know what I say? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because He's the one who did it. He's the one who puts it all together. He's the one who is good and helps us. So humility. Lastly today, and probably the most important, let me just give them to you again. Integrity, chivalry, purity, authority, teachability, humility, and then the last one is dependability. Let's keep it old-fashioned in regards to dependability. What is dependability, Pastor? Well, we call it faithfulness. Faithfulness. How many of you serve in a ministry in your church? Raise your hand. Maybe you serve in junior church or bus ministry or something like that. Listen, you know what God wants you to be? Faithful. One of the hardest things as a pastor is trying to fill ministry openings. And why? Because there's one requirement to be in ministry, whatever it is. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says. One of the hardest things is to get people to commit. And listen, no matter what you decide to be, no matter what God has you to be faithful. You know why people get fired from their job most of the time? Because they're unfaithful. They're not faithful to show up to work or to show up on time or whatever the authority has set up. Be faithful. Lee Robertson said this, a man may not be much, but he can be faithful. Faithful. What is faithfulness? Bob Jones Sr. said, the greatest ability is dependability. Be faithful. So I've been married 18 years. Tomorrow's my anniversary. Oh my goodness, I better get flowers or something. I forgot about that. Let's see, where's that? Chivalry. That was number two. I gotta take my own preaching on that. You know what? I want to be to my wife dependable. Dependable. I want to be faithful to her. When I stood at an altar 18 years ago with one less chin, amen, I stood there, had this little rock 23-year-old chin, and the preacher said, repeat after me, I, Richard, take you, Carrie, to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, and forsaking all others. You know what that means? I'm to be faithful to that woman. By the way, she deserves my faithfulness. She's been faithful to me, mother of my children, wife of my youth. But you know who else really, fellas, and I'll end with this. You know who's even more worthy of our faithfulness? God. The one who shed His blood. So think about that the next time you want to lay out on a Sunday.
Amen.
Think about that next time they're having youth group and you say, No. Let's keep it old-fashioned in regard to faithfulness. Let's make sure our youth pastor can depend on us to be there. Hey, how about work day at the church? Boy, that's the one. That's the one right there. Separating the wheat from the chaff now, amen? Get 50 people out for the bowling activity, but hey, it's work day. You get 12 people. Hey, listen, be faithful. Keep it old-fashioned in regards to dependability. Keep it old-fashioned in regards to humility. It's not all about you. It's all about Him and all the work that people have put into us. Keep it old-fashioned in regards to teachability. God gave you one mouth and two ears, so listen twice as much as you talk. Why? So you can learn. Wise men will hear and increase learning. Old-fashioned authority. Say, hey, you know what? While I'm a teenager, while I'm under these people, I'm gonna submit myself to God. I'm gonna submit myself to my parents. I'm gonna submit myself to my bosses and my youth pastor, and my pastor. How about purity, fellas? It's time to cut the internet connection. Amen. It's time to get yourself set up with Covenant Eyes. What's Covenant Eyes? You have an accountability partner that it logs every website that you go on, and they get it. Why? Because God wants us to be pure.
Amen.
How about chivalry? Treating a lady like a lady. Ladies first. Holding the door. Speaking to a lady like she should be spoken to. And then the last one is integrity. Just being honest. Saying what we do and doing what we say. Keeping it old-fashioned, fellas. Those are some old-fashioned virtues that, Lord willing, when I'm an old man, you could come to me and say, Pastor, I remember that split session, and I've tried my best to be old-fashioned in my integrity and my chivalry and my purity. These are old-fashioned virtues that will stay with you. Let's keep it old-fashioned, fellas, okay?
Amen.
Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, your blessings unto us. Lord, I pray for these young men today. Lord, it is truly a difficult thing to be a teenager today. Much more difficult than when I was a teenager 25 years ago. And even much more difficult than the last 10 years. Lord, it just seems like the culture and our way of life is just going down the tubes fast. But I pray, God, for these young men today. I pray that you'd help them to ground themselves in the Bible and in church. And, Lord, get themselves around people that can help them to keep it old-fashioned. I pray that you'd help us to be men of our word, to be men of integrity, to be men of chivalry who treat ladies like the weaker vessel. Lord, to be men who submit to authority. And Lord, each one of these points, I just pray that they would burn in us today. Lord, you'd help us to keep it old-fashioned. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you give to us. And we thank you most of all for dying on the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All God's men said,
amen.
Amen, amen. My privilege to speak to you today, guys. What we're going to do is we're going to head up to the foyer, but the ladies are still up there. So if they're still in session, let's do our best to try to keep it quiet until we move into the foyer, okay? So up the stairs, just try to keep it low. And thank you for listening. So great, fellas.